Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben, it's going to be a gorgeous day today on Maui to play a beautiful round of golf on the Plantation course, on the Bay course. It's going to be partly sunny, some little bit of rain. The high today about 82. The winds are easterly. Finally, some winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, so you'll need your wind game today. Good morning. There's a high surf warning for the north and west-facing shores of Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, north-facing shores of Maui as well. So just be prepared. It's going to be some great surf to watch if you're playing over at Plantation, of course, on the Bay course. And this, I need to tell you right away, there are openings at Pearl Country Club. There is a 1246, there is a 110, there is a 158. Poipu Bay, there's an 11 o'clock this morning, and don't tell anybody, there's a female Grammy winner playing at Poipu Bay. Now, I don't know when her tee time is, but that's just the inside scoop. Makalei has a 10-10, 11-24. It's 52 degrees at Volcano. I certainly hope somebody makes a golf course, reopens Volcano. We've got Shannon's gang playing at Makaha East, 9:36 if you'd like to play. And at Wailea on the gold course at 12:20, Emerald a 1:30, the blue course at 12:30. And just may you all hit the sweet spot every time. All right, now we've got a great show for you. Ron Cyrak is joining us, season opener, LPGA. Aaron LaDuke, Assistant Superintendent, Irrigation Landscapes Unlimited, and Sponsorship Coordinator for the Texas Adaptive Golf Association. He'll be with us. Diana DeLucia, Founder and President of Golf Kitchen, is in the house later, or should I say in the kitchen. Mel Soul, Director of Instruction and Owner of Mel Soul Golf School, how to make practice fun. I love the topic. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and on-course reporter, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and he's having a just really rough time. Yes, he's reporting from Hualalai. Right. Rough. I don't think so. We'll be talking with Mark Rolfing right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24-7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him right into the clubhouse. It's Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, good morning, Danielle. Great to talk to you again. This is becoming a regular thing for me Saturday morning. I'm waking up naturally now.
Yes. So you're roughing it at Hualalai, eh?
What a spot. I was calculating yesterday. I think this is my 26th. what used to be the MasterCard Championship, now the Mitsubishi Electric. And I absolutely love it. And I'm back out on the golf course. I haven't been on the course here at Hualalai in probably 15 years. I'm typically in a booth, but they have me on the course, and it's kind of fun. I'm out here with my old compadres, and and get to watch Ernie Els and BJ Singh play golf. It's amazing.
Yeah, a three-way tie, 12 under, Stephen Ames, BJ Singh, Ernie Els. Who says he wants to shed 10 pounds? You know, actually, we're not, we see that 10 pounds that he wants to get rid of on television. It does something. It expands things. Ernie, he kind of has a lumber to him, the way he walks. He's just so, but all three of these guys are pretty big, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, really. Ernie is a huge guy. Watching him drive the ball yesterday, yes, he's got an extra 10 pounds that he wants to get rid of, but he really is getting through the ball well. And I got to tell you, I was out there with that same exact threesome, Stephen Ames, VJ, and Ernie yesterday, and it never crossed my mind, Danielle, that I was watching seniors play golf. They play like regular, you know, guys on the PGA Tour, which I've been watching the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how far they're hitting it and the kind of golf they're playing. And, you know, here they are 12 under par, and they only got a one-shot lead. There's five other guys, I think, at 11 under.
Yeah, you know, it's Jim Furyk, Miguel Angel Jimenez, 11 under. Bernard Langer didn't have the round. He shot a 71 after that 66. He's tied for 13th. And the defending champ, Darren Clark, shot 66-72, tied for 18. It just seems like the second round was a little bit tougher. Was there a difference?
Yeah, there was a little more wind. You were talking about it over on Maui, picking up to maybe 15 or 20 today. I thought the course got a little bit harder yesterday. And when the wind is coming off the water like it was, the scores get pretty low in the middle of the round, but then the finishing stretch, 15, 16, 17, those holes are pretty hard. So it was a really good test yesterday at Hualalai, and I'm kind of hoping it blows today. That's really the only defense that this golf course has.
So, yeah. And now, speaking of the golf course, 18 holes, of course, designed by Jack Nicklaus. He celebrated his birthday yesterday, right?
Yeah, we were talking about Jack, Lanny Watkins, and I on the air yesterday. I remember, Danielle, Jack Nicklaus brought me out here in 1991. And we were up at Mount Alani playing in the senior skins. He was playing. I was announcing. And he said, come down, I want to show you a site down the coastline here that we're going to build a golf course. And so out we came into this lava field, and we were standing there, and there were a couple of people from the development company here. And Jack was, like, pointing all this stuff to me out in the middle of this lava field. He was saying, hey, now, look at this. This is going to be the opening hole, and it's going to turn to the left up here, and the green's going to sit over there, like, I can't see one thing except piles and piles of lava. And it's still to this day just as remarkable to me how they build these golf courses on this island in the middle of all this lava.
Yeah, yeah. One person said, quote, crafted with extreme sensitivity to the land. And it really is. It's somehow they've managed to find where there is a depression around the, you know, that they've created, whether it's a green or, I don't know, a collection area that's going to scare everybody. It's truly amazing how they've put it together. It looks like nothing's been disturbed. It was just grown into. And it's beautiful. By the way, if you're watching on Golf Channel, people who can play Hualalai, members of Hualalai Club, they're registered guests, registered rental guests, and the guests of the Four Seasons Resort. So you need to make it that one trip because it's an amazing place. There is not, it's so peaceful and yet wide open. It just feels really, really wonderful to play. Now, about that lava, didn't Ernie was kind of saved by the lava? His ball bounced back into the course rather than, you know, how golf balls and lava don't get along.
Yeah, I was actually up closer to where the ball landed. I saw it land in the lava, and it bounced twice in the lava, actually, before it came out. And I said to him, the first thing I said to him is, Ernie, have you ever heard of Menahuni? Because you should thank one of them out there because somebody threw your ball back into play. But I also said, you probably ought to check your ball. So he called over an official, and he did, and the ball had hit the lava so hard, and it's that sharp, young lava, and it literally pierced the cover of his golf ball. So he was able to take the ball out of play and put in another one. But the most important thing is he wasn't hitting his third shot from the tee. He literally turned a six into a four. And if he goes back, goes on and wins that tournament today, Danielle, he's going to look back on that one shot yesterday and say, that's the one that won it for me.
Yes. And I'm so glad you explained that because that was my next question. I mean, did he, how do you play a ball that's been bouncing in lava? That is an automatic, like, gone ball. It's great that he was able to replace it. So I'm just curious with Jim Furyk and Miguel Angel Jimenez, I see them potentially coming on. Who else do you see challenging these three in the lead?
Stephen Auker, who a year ago today had no status on the tour. He didn't really have a place to play. He got in a tournament, finished in the top 10, and started playing, making cuts. Then he won a tournament. This guy has come on really strong, really fast. Nobody's ever heard of him, Stephen Auker. But I'll tell you, he's got one of the best golf swings of anybody in this field. He can really play, and it would not surprise me one bit, Danielle, to see Stephen Auker right there at the end of this round today.
Wow, that's exciting. That's very exciting. What time does the broadcast start?
We start at 2 o'clock today, so, yeah, I work from 2 to 5. What a way to make a living.
Yes. And you're up at 7. Yeah, gosh, I'm going to have to. I wanted to ask you, did you spend a couple of days with Colin Morikawa when he was here for a Century Tournament of Champions?
I did spend a little time with him. Unfortunately, I had been scheduled to come over to the Big Island and do a clinic with him on the Big Island, and he tested positive on the Sunday before we were going to do it. We were doing it on the 27th of December, so that never got to happen. I did spend a little time with him then at Kapalua, though. I look at that guy and I just say to myself, man, that is the prototype young player. He's the second-ranked player in the world. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get up in that number one spot. Just an amazing player. And, boy, you talk about somebody that loves Hawaii, that embraces our culture and embraces our spirit out here. It's Colin Morikawa.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Such a gentleman and so down to earth and kind. I just, everything. And I see, he's playing DP World Tour, the European Tour. And by the way, if you're looking for the European Tour, just put it in there because they haven't changed online the way to find the scores. Colin had a 73, 74, 71, not in the top 10. We have Scott Jamieson, Shane Lowry with Thomas Peters tied for second. Shubhankar Sharma, Victor Hovland, Ian Poulter, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Adam Scott, all in the top 10. And what I find interesting about this is we have some young guys. I mean, Victor Hovland's about the only young guy. Adam Scott, Ian Poulter, Shane Lowry, all Thomas Peters. They're not youngins, and they're in the DP World Tour, and they're doing so well. Is there any reason why they'd be their experience?
First of all, they're more used to the course, than some of the younger American players. But I also think, and you and I talked about this last week, Danielle, there are players in that field that had to travel all the way from Hawaii, both Victor Hovland and Colin Morikawa were in Hawaii, which is exactly on the opposite side of the globe. And traveling to the Middle East is something like a 30-hour trip. It's just a really, really hard trip. And that's why those guys skipped the Sony Open last week, which I don't like, as you heard me go off last week about.
Bravo.
But I really think it's affected them. It's hard for them to come to this part of the world and then go to that part of the world, even if you're flying in first class. They're not riding in seat 34B, I can tell you that.
No. Do you remember when we used to fly in for a tournament? And on Maui, I'm thinking in particular, and at Kahului Airport, there would be this row of private jets. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'll bet you more than half of the PGA Tour flies privately tomorrow. It's just insane. Lee Trevino told me not too long ago, he said, can you believe Robert Stubbs got his own plane? Robert Stubbs, I'm not sure it was Robert, but it was a player kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, how much money all of these players make now and the way they can travel. Those private jets coming to Maui are not inexpensive, that's for sure.
No. Then at the American Express, we have Patrick Cantlay. Is it Tom Hoagie? Is that how it's named?
Tom Hoagie. Yep.
Yeah, Will Zalatoris, Lanto Griffin, Grayson Sigg, Cameron Young, Joseph Bramlett, first, second, and third for, you know, they're all at the top of the leaderboard at the American Express in La Quinta. I'm just really thrilled at the depth of the young kids that, you know, they're not even kids so much anymore. They're young men. They're put together. Matt Wolf is missing in action. Have you heard where Matt Wolf is?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Wolf is struggling, Danielle. You know, he's obviously in his early 20s still. It's not really physical problems as much as it seems to be. He's just not comfortable. He's a single guy. You know, he should be, by all rights, he ought to be, you know, in the senior year of his college career. And some players and some people just don't adapt to that as well as others. Matt came out and played pretty well right at the beginning of his career a couple years ago, and he's kind of gotten a little bit lost now. He's a lonely guy. He doesn't seem to hang with a lot of people. And for a real young single guy, it's not that easy these days. And so he has not been able to adapt. If you remember, 2 years ago, we were talking about Hovland, Morikawa, and Matt Wolf, kind of all in the same terms. And we were arguing who's going to be the best of those three. Well, you know, Matt has been left in the dust by Morikawa and Hovland right now. So he's just not been able to adjust like the other two have.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, the team that you build around you, all of that must make a huge difference, knowing who to pick, who, you know, and how to just negotiate all the relationships that you have. It really isn't easy, especially if you've been kind of a homebody. You know, you've been nurtured by the same people for so long, and now all of a sudden you're thrown out into the world. Can we switch gears a little bit and talk about Hawaii and Alawai and the state golf associations?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What's up?
Well, as you know, I've been involved in the discussions out at Alawai Golf Course for, 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, the vision has been, and it hasn't wavered, the vision is that Alawai, which is an iconic public course, it used to be the world's busiest course, is no longer. You know, at its peak, it played 220,000 rounds a year. It's now more in the 120,000 rounds a year place. It's still very busy, but it's lost a little bit of its luster. And my thought always has been that ought to be the home of Hawaii golf. And it really should be our iconic place in all the islands. It's not a resort. It's not a private country club. It's a public course. And you know me, I'm a big public golf guy. So we've been working very hard on a plan. As you know, early on, we developed a plan for Top Golf at Alawai, and I still firmly believe there will be a Top Golf there one of these days. It has taken longer than we thought, and there's one singular reason for that, and that is that through all of our study and analysis, Danielle, it's become clear that the Alawai Golf Course is going to have to be a critical part of the flood prevention plan. That has been worked on by the Army Corps of Engineers for 20 years now, trying to figure out how they're going to stop the, you know, 500-year storm or the 100-year storm.
Right.
And we've had 300-year storms in the last 5 years. The driving range at Alawai right now is closed, as you may know. And the reason it's closed is because of all the rain that we had over a pretty short period of time, basically killed off the grass and flooded to the point where the outfield had to be redone.
Wow.
So you can see that Alawai is the natural place where water gathers. And so I'm happy to tell you a couple things. One is that we are now incorporating all the long-term plans, including the plan for Top Golf, into the flood plan, and that's going to take some time. They're not going to build a wall around Alawai or do anything like that. A golf course is a great place to hold water if it rains that hard. So long term, the Topgolf plan, as far as I'm concerned, is on track. It's just taking a little longer than usual. Short term, I can also tell you that a week from Tuesday on February 1st, we're going to make a big announcement. I'm just going to tease you a little bit about what is going to happen to the driving range at the Alawai, because it's going to change. And there's going to be a new plan when it reopens. And I think that's really going to be good. It's going to involve other organizations within the state. And it's going to be a big step toward this, making this the home of Hawaii golf. And I really think you're going to like it. The people of Hawaii are going to like it. And it will be a big first step in terms of the long-term plan. That's what we needed, was a big first step.
Excellent. So I'm looking at the clubhouse and all the space in the clubhouse and where everyone could gather from all the organizations, but that's just Danielle dreaming right now, because it would really, I don't know, there's something when you walk in, you think what's happening here? It's just so lonely and lost. It's a big building. It needs life. And I think those organizations, all of them, would bring that life right into it, and it would create a buzz that it sorely needs, and that would be terrific. February 1st, I'm trying to look on my calendar. That means that will be
a Tuesday. That's a week from Tuesday.
Yes. Shall you be on the show again?
Yes, we should. I don't think I should be on before we do the February 1st. I think we should do it after, and I can explain the details.
Great. So that would be the 5th.
That's correct. We have booked a date for Saturday the 5th.
Thank you so much, Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and a proponent for a long time of the Golf Hub in Waikiki and a Topgolf in Hawaii. Thank you so much for being on the show.
All right. Thanks, Danielle, as always.
Aloha. Coming back, Mel Soul's going to tell us just how we can make practice fun. And it's got to be, because, you know, there are long hours involved if somebody's really serious about this game, and aren't we all? I'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
And put this on your calendar. The Aloha Power Equipment Megastore Grand Opening is coming. It should be next week.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a 9. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Mel Soul is director of golf and owner Mel Soul Golf Schools a South African tour player for years with more than 30 years of teaching experience in South Africa, in Canada, and, of course, in the United States. His Mel Soul Golf Schools. You might want to take a trip, for instance, to Myrtle Beach and see if you can spot Charlie Reimer and then take a lesson with Mel Soul. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mel.
Thank you, Danielle. Always a pleasure to be here.
Did you ever catch a sight of what's his name? Charlie Reimer?
Charlie, yes. Yeah. I've seen him a couple of times out at our course, Paulie's Plantation. And, you know, he's always so busy that I never really get a chance to talk to him. But I did go out to dinner with him a few years, and it was very entertaining.
Yes, he's a character. He's been on the show, and it's so much fun to talk to. So competitive golf has returned as we get into the 2022 season. We love watching the, you know, Champions Tour. They're at Hualalai. We're watching the LPGA Tour. They're in Lake Nona having a great time. It's fabulous just seeing the performances they're putting on. There's no rust on those girls right now. We love watching them, and we think we can copy them. Is there a chance that we can really pick up tips watching golf on television?
I think what you got to do, Danielle, is not necessarily try and watch their swings and try and copy their swings, because that takes years and years to develop. But watch the way they think. Watch the way they play their game. Watch the way they pay attention to their address position, how they play their shots. They play a lot of shots on the ground. They use low-lofted clubs and chip. And I see the amateurs with lob wedges and sand wedges, and it makes the game more difficult. And one of the things I try and teach at the school is to teach people to chip with low-lofted clubs and get the ball on the ground and let it roll. And you don't have to take the club back as far when you do that. And if you don't take the club back as far, you're not going to hit the bad shot. So watch those players and watch the way they think. You'll learn much more that way.
Wow, that's great advice. The further back you take it, the more chance for making a mistake, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I've been teasing, of course, everybody about practice, and everybody's like, I've got to go practice. Some people love to practice. They just love to hit long, you know, just I'm going to tear up this golf course with my driver. I'm going to be on this driving range, and I'm going to slam them. I don't know that works all that good, since how often do you use your driver? So, but bottom line is, how to make practice fun is our mission today.
Yeah, and you know, this idea kind of started in my head years ago when I had four instructors working for me, and we at the end of the day we'd go to clean up the range, and we would just stand as golf pros. We're not going to pick up balls. We're just going to hit them out onto the range. And so all of a sudden a little competition started. All right, I'm going to hit a low draw, and I'm going to hit a high fade, and I'm going to hit that tree trunk out there. And we really look forward to those end-of-the-day sessions.
I can imagine,
I've encouraged my students. I said, look, go out to the range with a buddy and play against him on the range and say, all right, see if you can hit a high draw. See if you can, because those are the shots that we sometimes call upon on the golf course, and we stand there and we think, well, how do I do this? But if you stand on the range, you teach yourself. Because if you hit a bad shot, you know, you just pull up another ball and you hit it. And so you start teaching yourself skills that just standing on the range and beating balls doesn't work. And so you can go in the bunker. We had a female instructor, her and one of my male instructors, myself. We were having competitions on who could hold out the most bunker shots, you know, like a dollar a shot. And it was such fun. It was such fun. And I look forward to those sessions, and go out to the range and don't get bogged down in swing mechanics and technique, and develop a feel for the game. And that way you'll have more fun.
Excellent. Excellent. It brings to mind, you know, I was thinking, okay, about our different driving ranges. What do you think of double-decker driving ranges? Should people try to stay on the bottom level when you're with the ground, or is there something to be said for being up on top?
You know, I've never quite had a specific opinion on that. And a little while ago, I went, my son was visiting and my grandson, and he brought a friend, and they were kind of bored. They both were about 16.
Mm.
And Topgolf had just opened. I heard you and Mark Rolfing talking about Topgolf. And Topgolf had just opened a month or two earlier. So I said to my son, let's take these guys to Topgolf. Well, the one boy has never played golf in his life. Well, we were on the top tier. And I think it helped for beginners. This young guy that never played, he got excited that he got the ball airborne. Well, he didn't really get it airborne. If we'd been on the ground floor, it would have gone along the ground.
But, yes.
So I think for high handicaps, the second level just encourages them to get the ball in the air a little bit more. And so they continue, and if they continue, they'll get better. If you're an experienced golfer, then maybe the ground level's a little bit better. As you say, you get ground level and you're hitting at targets. But these two kids had an absolute blast. And the non-golfer ended up beating my grandson, and he actually took a picture of the screen. He was going to post it on Facebook. So they had fun. And so, you know, the next time they came back, the first thing they asked me was, when are we going to Topgolf? So it encourages them to go to the range more and go and practice. And if they do that, they're going to increase the golfing population, which is what we need to do.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And, you know, I was helping coach some junior players, and there's a double-deck driving range, and so they were on the top deck. And as I was watching them get excited about hitting the ball and it going someplace, I thought, oh, thank goodness we're up here.
Yeah.
Because if we were down there, it would just go plonk right into the ground.
Right.
And they found joy in all of that. And then as they got a little bit better, we'd go out on the golf course and play a few holes. And that, and then, of course, they got more into it and had more fun. And some wanted to keep on going, and some weren't quite ready for that. So it is really making it fun for the kids, an enjoyable experience.
And Danielle, it carries on when I take my juniors out on the course. You know, they hit a bad shot and they slam their club into the ground, and I said, you know, it's not bad to get angry. It's not bad. You'll see the pros get mad at themselves, but don't let it carry over to the next shot. And when you hit a good shot, and I think this is important for most golfers, when you hit a good shot, celebrate the good shot. You know, pump your fist, or if you sink a putt. I see some of these PGA Tour players that hardly crack a smile, and they've just sank a 30-footer. And when you think back to Arnie and Jack and Gary Player, they used to pump their fist. And, you know, you want to teach your body to like that. And you want to enjoy your golf by celebrating the good shots. I mean, just kind of ignore the bad shots and move on, you know?
Yeah. The mind-body connection in sport, it's really important, and that goes for golf too, right?
Yes. Well, you know, you see Tiger. Now, Tiger used to get, I think, too mad on the course sometimes, but he used to celebrate the good shots. And, you know, he taught his body to really enjoy the experience of hitting those good shots. And so I think that makes it more fun on the golf course, particularly for beginners.
Yeah. I haven't been able to exercise motor vehicle situation. So when I was able to do something just recently, and I found myself doing all the right things, all of a sudden my body was doing the deep breathing. Doing everything. Like, I'm like, wow, it's automated. You know, my body knows what it needs. If I just give it an opportunity to do it, you know, that was kind of eye-opening for me. And I thought, that's why, you know, that repeating everything, it seems like, oh, this repetition, but it's repetition that will then stick not just in the brain, right, but in the body.
Yeah. It is. And the practice that you're doing, if you try and make it fun, you don't realize that you're teaching the body to produce a repetition, to do something over and over again, to create that hook or to create that slice on the range. And then you're on the golf course and you go, oh, yeah, okay, I know what that feels like. And you step up to the ball. And when you hit it on the golf course and you see that ball fade and curve around that tree and drop on the green, you know, celebrate that shot and really get to love the game again. I think some of us, myself, were definitely about a year ago, I got into a funk where I was just getting too serious and videotaping my swing and, you know, trying to analyze my swing and this and that. And the one day I went out with my grandson to play, and I played great. And when we came in, my wife said to me, why did you play so well? I said, you know, I wasn't thinking about my golf. I was thinking about him. And so I stopped thinking, and immediately my body knew what to do.
You got out of yourself.
If you're an established golfer, your body knows what to do.
Yeah. You got out of your own way.
Yeah. You know, I heard you talking about, is it Wolf?
Yes, Matthew
and
Wolf.
Mark said he's in a bit of a slump. I think some of these young guys get caught up in technique, and too many of them, you know, chop and change instructors and take, you know, very seriously on the technique part. And they've got to go out and have some fun on the golf course and just go out with one club and a putter and see how you score and learn to play shots again that you learned as a kid. You know, as a kid, they used to go out with 2-3 clubs and go and play. I think somebody like Wolf needs to, you know, get back to his kids' golf.
Yeah, what exactly? And he has such an interesting swing, the way he uses,
yeah,
right? And I mean, just let it go. I was watching the last time I saw him, and it was like, wait a minute, he's putting too much thought into that motion that he's doing.
Right,
that's something that
right.
he's automated. She shouldn't be thinking about making that step. That just should be a part of his breathing, like you breathe, just move.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, he's played like that all his life. And unfortunately, there are some instructors that hang around the driving range trying to get PGA Tour players as their students. And then they start changing the technique. I was one of the things I remember very clearly when I was still on tour, and John Daly came over to South Africa. It was long before he won the PGA, and he came and played on the South African tour. And one of the instructors there said, "Oh, you know, that's a terrible swing. He's got to learn to control the swing." And I said, "I hope nobody touches him. I really hope nobody touches him, because it's going to ruin him if anybody gets anywhere near him and tries to teach him to swing, you know, with the fundamentals that we teach." And John Daly had a, you know, pretty decent career.
Yes, yes. Just leave him alone already.
Yeah, just doing it his own way, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think taking lessons as an instructor, taking lessons is not a bad thing if you're a beginner. But once you establish your own swing and your own technique, go to the range and practice and stop taking lessons and work on your game and start enjoying practicing. Start working on the flight and seeing what you can do with a golf club. And I think your game will improve.
Wow. Now, this is a golf instructor telling you to stop taking lessons. So if he's I was thinking of all the guys, you know, he's telling you to stop paying me already. Go do this on your own.
I have a guy that I'm working with at the moment who's like a 2 handicap, and his game is in a slump. And I said to him, your body knows how to hit a golf ball. You don't have to stand on the first tee and try and think how you're going to swing the club. Your body already knows how to do that. So go out there, you know, go down the middle of the fairway and say whoever you're playing, you know, I'm going to hit this down the left-hand side with a little fade and see if you can do it. And he sent me a text the other day just with three, you know, those little thumbs up signs.
Yes, yes, yes.
He just sent me with three little thumbs up. He played great. So he just got his mind out of the game.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I asked you, you know, watching it and about some of the players that you really have your eye on. And you mentioned two names on the PGA Tour, Abraham Anser and Patrick Cantlay. Why?
Well, because they are two of the players that are worried that, you know, their face is going to crack if they smile. They walk around with these, I mean, I watched Abraham Anser the other day sink about a 30-foot putt, and his expression never changed. And I said, well, he's not, you know, it's not celebrating. That's a fantastic shot. I don't care who you are. You know, if the ball goes in from 30 feet, it's a good shot. Celebrate it. Don't walk up there as if, oh, you know, I've got to do this again, you know. So, but I think, and at Patrick Cantlay, I can't criticize him. I mean, he's on a great run. But I'd like to see a little bit more emotion in their games. And I think they would become better players.
Wow. All right. Mel Soul, director of golf, owner of Mel Soul Golf Schools. How do we get in touch with you?
I've got an 800 number, 800-624-4653. My email address is pretty easy to remember, melsoulgolf@gmail.com. And my website is melsoulgolfschool.com. And you'll find me in, you know, fairly easily. If you just type in Mel Soul, you'll find me.
Exactly. That's all you got to do. If you've got to Google,
yeah,
just put it in there, and whatever your search engine is, you're going to find Mel Soul. He's the director of golf and owner of Mel Soul Golf Schools, and he's not just in one location. So you can always see where he's going to be or send a message saying, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? And I know you have a bunch of things planned. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Danielle, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Coming back, Diana DeLucia. We're going into the golf kitchen after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Danielle got just a little bit too excited. Yes, the grand opening is actually in February, next month. They're waiting for the stock to come in so it's all full and you guys can go and have a great time. Grand opening is coming soon. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Does your golf swing have a hitch in it? Want to learn the finer points to play better? Get the fun back in your game with coaching by Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau, Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Academy, a Golf Channel Academy. Claude, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, you will improve immediately and get fast results. Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or email cbrousseau@wailea.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-856-9458. And have fun counting your birdies.
You could actually see Claude Brousseau today. This is over at Hawaii Prince Golf Course. He's doing Aimpoint Express Green Reading Sessions, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I think they're all booked already because, you know, he's really good. But he's going to be there. And this is all in collaboration with Oliver Oliquiano and the Island Pacific Golf Academy. And I'm so excited because it is just growing and the building is beautiful and things are expanding. It's great. Congratulations, Oliver. And good to see you back on Oahu. Claude, we'll be back after this.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And let's go into the Golf Kitchen. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, publisher Golf Kitchen. It's a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, coffee table book. And there's another one coming out really soon, so I'm going to say coffee table books. Golf Kitchen, her first book was Golf Club World, Behind the Gates. She is an award-winning food photographer and also a member of the board of directors of the Foreign Press Association. Now, welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Aloha, Danielle. It's great to hear your voice.
Oh, it's good to hear yours, and I'm so glad you're with us, and it's so exciting. You've got the, is it possible to say, the fourth annual? It's amazing that the awards is coming up so soon. It's like we've just had the awards ceremony at Glen Arbor. Tell us about it.
It is. It does seem really quick because this is the first time we've had, you know, the better part of a year to plan the awards since the pandemic began. So I'm really excited. It's on September the 8th at Glen Arbor Golf Club. And we also are adding the first ever Golf Kitchen Invitational. So I'm super excited about that.
Okay, so the Invitational is on the 8th. That's the golf tournament. Isn't the dinner on the 10th?
No. I had misinterpreted the date. It's actually everything's on the 8th. The invitational during the day and the dinner during the night and the presentations. It's going to be absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yes, that is wonderful. So it's all on the 8th. I always think of the 10th because that's my grandson's birthday. So it is on the 8th, and this is at Glen Arbor. The Golf Kitchen awards are going to be distributed, and it's an intimate setting at Glen Arbor. Where could someone get tickets, and when are they available?
This year it's an invitational, and those invitations will be sent out in the coming week.
Okay.
We don't expect we have a cap of 80 to 100 max, and, you know, it's going to depend on how many golfers are out there, so whoever's in that invitational is probably going to have first dibs because that includes the dinner as well.
Right, right.
So it's gonna be a balancing act, but it is a very exclusive event, and we want to keep it that way. Because it's more fitting to the industry, we don't just hand out awards like candy. There's a process, and, you know, we have some great chefs, and this year we're focusing on young chefs in the industry under 40.
Under 40. Is Jose Carle coming from Puerto Rico for this event?
Jose is definitely rejoining us this year, and we're very happy to have him back, and he will be playing in the Invitational as well as cooking.
I really love him. You know, I've got to have him back on the air. He was such an enjoyable person when he was talking about what God gave him for the dinner. He'd go in his garden outside his door to see what was ready for picking, and he would go fishing to see what he'd catch. So here's the chef going fishing and seeing what he catches, and then going into the garden to get the fresh vegetables, the produce that's ready, and then creating the dinner for the guests at the very private club that he was cooking at. So, you know, it's just, he's a wonderful person. This is the fourth annual Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards at Glen Arbor with Jose Carle coming from Puerto Rico. The question in so many people's minds right now is there enough people to do jobs? So is there enough people to pull off this exclusive event, the ceremony with the dinner and the wine and the fabulous desserts?
Well, because we have so many other clubs coming to the property, we have, like, we've got four chefs coming in from interstate. I can announce Wes Tyler, executive chef at the club at Carlton Woods in Texas.
Wow.
And Sean Ola, executive chef at Highlands Falls Country Club in North Carolina. And Jose Carlea from Puerto Rico, formerly from Royal Isabella.
Yes.
He's a part of the Golf Kitchen team, and he has just the most wonderful story. And I want to say Hannah from Meisner, but I have to get approval. We're waiting on approval from Meisner Country Club. I'm sure that's going to be absolutely fine. And that's a great team of chefs, with Marissa Hernandez at Glen Arbor as well. They're all under 40, and we're excited to showcase everything that they're doing at the dinner.
That's wonderful.
I can't wait.
And Hannah's on the cover of Golf Kitchen magazine.
Yes, she is.
Yes. Now, tell us, here's another under 40, I think. Chrissy Bennett, the first female executive chef at Winged Foot Golf Club. Wow.
Chrissy, that's a really popular story this week, actually. I got a message from the GM, and he had mentioned that Chrissy has taken the main executive chef role at Winged Foot after Rye Waddington. He has gone down to, I do believe, a South Carolina or North Carolina for another position in the warmer weather, I'd imagine. And he really paved the way for Winged Foot. And Chrissy, she really came in there and as a kitchen manager, I believe, and she is just so passionate about the culinary side of golf, but also for Winged Foot itself. I mean, she has only, to my knowledge, worked at Winged Foot, and I think she's going to be there for a long time, and I predicted that she would get the executive chef role, and I'm just really happy to see that they have given her that responsibility.
Yeah, and this was her desire. This was her goal. And, you know, as you wrote, you know, 5 years ago, she talked about what she wanted to do, and she made it happen because of her determination. It just shows you, you know, 5 years is nothing if, as I said in response to reading it, you know, it's nothing if it makes your dream come true, because after that, it's gravy. You know, you're working where you want to be. You're doing what you want to do. Your work becomes your passion, and it's all-consuming, and yet it's all-fulfilling. It just feels so wonderful, you know, to have that kind of good fortune. Now, you were also talking about Fernando Silva, a new wine critic.
Yes, we have appointed Fernando Silva, who's the wine director, sommelier, and he's also an artist, and he's the new Golf Kitchen wine critic and reviewer, which we have never had in the private golf club industry. That's specifically targeted at private golf clubs, and it's also a prelude to our wine program award that we've been working on for a couple of years, getting the criteria going for that with some very influential industry figures. I'm super excited about that as well.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so the Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards, you have a certification program that are the people who are then certified, are they the ones that you choose or are chosen, not you specifically, are chosen for the Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards?
Not necessarily. That's the direction we will go in eventually when we have much bigger numbers. I'm thinking several years down the road. However, that said, it is generally a property that I've already visited, and I don't do the certifications. The certification program was written up by about, you know, five or six GMs and executive chefs across the country. And I appreciate them for all their support. And I honestly believe that the certification program is going to grow. The awards are going to grow. I really want to take it international eventually. I'm trying to get a culinary school behind us, which I'll tell you more about next time we speak. And, I mean, I'm just trying my hardest. And I just want to say to the audience out there, whoever's listening, Golf Kitchen is not owned by a big corporate group. It's not owned by anything. I'm a sole female-run business. It's a lot of work. I'm dragged in many different directions because I'm trying to leave something behind for long before I'm gone. And I just want people to know that because a lot of people think that, you know, I'm a big corporation or I have some backing behind me. And you know, it's really me and all the clubs and chefs that I work with that have made Golf Kitchen happen and made it possible.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe the travel that Diana DeLucia does. And as a photographer, she's amazing. She could really, if she goes someplace, she pretty much is on her own, responsible for doing everything that she'd want to put, of course, into her article about wherever it happens to be. Right when you were in Hawaii and you were over on the Big Island, you were pretty much on your own taking all the photos.
Yeah, I try. I mean, I do my absolute best. When I come to a property, I shoot everything, and I write everything, and I do all the interviews. I'm very blessed because I had the pioneers, really, in the industry from back in 2010. And this is a new thing I'm really thinking of because the pandemic has kind of put a spanner in the works for my book production.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had so many chefs leave during the pandemic. And I'm trying to figure out I've got to reboot this third book production. And I started thinking about how many properties that we've actually covered across the world. And I've started to create a whole entire list. And I'm realizing now that we have actually created over the last 12 years, as you know, because you've been talking about it for a very long time.
Yes.
And there's over 100 properties globally, and there must be 400 or 500 recipes from the culinary industry in the private golf and country club space that we've collected. And I'm actually not even halfway through the list. So I'm really, it's something I've just started looking at from a email I got yesterday, and it really, you know, it really, really made me start thinking about the value of the pioneers of golf and country clubs since 2010. Because remember back then it was like nobody cared about, I mean, I was laughed at for highlighting chefs in golf.
Right.
And now it's like people are spending millions and millions of dollars on their club kitchens and et cetera, et cetera. And the chefs, the culinary talent is improving. It's just like, to me, it's something I really never looked at until yesterday.
You know, taking stock of everything you've done, it's always a good thing. Go through your files and then you realize just how much you've accomplished when you're having one of those low points.
Yeah, it was a low point. And I don't usually like to admit that, but it was a low point. And I really thought, you know, I really care about this industry. I care about everyone I work with. And you know, I just want people to know that, you know, this is a labor of love. We're not a big corporation. We're a one-owned business.
Yes.
One-woman-owned business. And I just happen to have incredibly supportive clubs that really, really care about what I was doing. I mean, if it wasn't for Sabonic Golf Club, Winged Foot Golf Club, Glen Arbor Golf Club, all the pioneers at the very beginning, and then all the leaders that saw what we were doing and came on board. Like, I just applaud all of them because they have made golf culinary history.
I am so proud of you. I really am. And it's only going to get better and better and better. This is Diana DeLucia. She is founder and editor-in-chief, and I'm going to say publisher. She does it all. Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine and coffee table books with, you know, all the things that you know, all the recipes that you might like to try. And I have some very good friends, family, who, whenever they get their magazine, are just thrilled to be able to try out the different recipes that are in the golf kitchen. So thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to having you on next time when you can tell us more details about the inside world of Golf Kitchen. Thanks, Diana.
Aloha, Danielle. Love you.
I love you, too. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Ibilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Ibilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Ibilay. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
KORLYNI Honolulu. And we've got something for you to win this morning. Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5, named the best divot repair tool, Golf Digest magazine, and one of the lovely little brushes to help clean the wedges that you're going to be using. And of course, you're not going to throw them up into the air too high, as Mel Soul told us. He said, keep them low, keep them easy. So all you got to do is be the person to call 808-545-1111 and be the first to do that. Make that the ninth. You've got to be the ninth caller. When was the last time we gave something away? It's been so busy with all the events that we've had in Hawaii. It's been a wonderful season. Let's bring him in next. And this is a young man who is doing some really great things. Aaron LaDuke is Assistant Superintendent, Irrigation, Landscapes Unlimited, and Sponsorship Coordinator for the Texas Adaptive Golf Association. And you can register at Texas Adaptive Golf Association for the 2022 events. Welcome into the clubhouse, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you've got championships coming up in May in Texas, events across the country. Do they all culminate in the U.S. Event? Yeah. Tell us about that.
One coming up in March, so it's at Windstar World Golf Casino Golf Club. That's in Thackerville, Oklahoma. So that's the 2022 SWAGA Oklahoma tournament. It's going to be March 27th through the 29th. And then got another one coming up with the Conquistador Paragolf Championship. That's April 11th through the 14th. And that's coming out of the Oro Valley of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, at the El Conquistador Golf and Tennis. And then ultimately the championship going on at the club at Champion Circle in Fort Worth will be May 2nd through the 5th. That's with the Texas Adaptive Golf Championship.
That's awesome. Now, all of this, the United States Disabled Golf Association, they hold the U.S. Disabled Golf Open Championship. And Chad Pfeiffer was the U.S. Disabled Open winner. And, you know, some of us may have missed this because golfers from four different countries came to the Century Tournament of Champions. They were the ISPS Honda All Abilities Champions Playoff, and Chad won. Congratulations, Chad. I look forward to trying to get a hold of him and having him on the show. That event was created so that all abilities golfers could have an opportunity to face the same test as the world's best. So that's really thrilling. It's also what you do as Assistant Superintendent Irrigation Landscapes Unlimited, LLC. The use of fertilizer, of water, always have been controversial in the game, but superintendents have really worked hard to make sure that the way they care for golf courses is earth-friendly. Do you see that?
Yeah, definitely. I'm learning new organizations that just focus on trying to do what they can to help clubs manage that at the lowest cost. And so it's really been a great, great thing I've learned probably across the last half a year, maybe a year.
And you're on your way to Arkansas to a sister course of Augusta National. Where is that?
It's just outside of Little Rock, Arkansas.
What's the name of the course?
It would definitely be a good project for me. The can't remember exactly, so they just gave me the information, but
yeah.
It's right on one of the lakes right outside of there, so
that's nice.
I do what I can. It's been a great organization. So Landscapes Unlimited has a profile of over 2,000 courses that they've worked on and on the construction and irrigation side, and they now have 60 courses that they manage throughout the U.S. and overseas. And so it's been a really great opportunity for me. I'm learning daily, and I'm really excited to be on that team.
That's wonderful. The process of extending the life of the infrastructure on a golf course is really important because so much goes into it. You want to make sure that it lasts for a while.
Yeah, this company has really done really well to try to take things from inception to operation and rejuvenation, and they kind of hold the market as far as that goes. They're definitely one of the only providers in the world able to deliver that single source solution, and so it's been really cool.
Now, Aaron, are you
on the management side?
Yeah, on the management side. I'm sorry, we lost you for a few minutes. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just saying that Landscapes Unlimited has over 2,000 courses that they've built in with the irrigation and everything, and now they're managing 60 courses across the United States and overseas. And so it's just something that they're able to offer a single-source solution from inception to operation and rejuvenation. And so it really just kind of sets them apart in the industry. And so it's been great. They've got over 3 decades of operating experience on the management side. They're the 7th largest provider in the United States, 21 states, including international experience as well. And so pretty cool for sure.
Very cool. Absolutely. As the Texas Adaptive Golf Association sponsorship coordinator, how can we help you?
Just right now looking for sponsors for the events. Been working with a gentleman named Bobby Bell. He's here in Azle, Texas, and he works at the club at the Champion Circle. And so it's been really great going back and forth with him. I'm trying to do what I can to kind of build some social media presence with him and kind of expand that network and kind of make as many connections as we can. I've got a few meetings coming up in the upcoming weeks that I think really should help out. And so just trying to see any interest for sponsors that may be interested in, you know, how we can help them. And then on the other side of it, it's just been so encouraging just to see these disabled golfers that are able to bring a skill and just their determination, you know, their willpower has, for me personally, been something that's just been super motivational.
That's wonderful. So go to Texas Adaptive Golf Association. There's a Facebook page, but of course they also have their website, and you can see some of the sponsors there already, and you can get in touch with Aaron or someone who's answering all the questions that are coming in. It's Texas Adaptive Golf Association. Aaron, thank you so much for being on the show.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Going to come back, Ron Syrak. We're going to talk about the LPGA. The season begins and it's underway. Quite amazing golf being played. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Okay. Our Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5 is still available, okay, as well as the Aqua Rush. Now, our lines were busy, very busy. There's a line open now, and it is 808-545-1111. Give us a call.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, they do. They steal actually your sandwiches when you're not looking. You know, you're out on the tee and all of a sudden you come back and your snack's gone. And off he scampers, or she scampers. Very much fun. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award. He's got the LPGA Media Excellence Award, and he's author of Vision 54, the trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nelson. Play your best golf now, the game before the game, and every shot must have a purpose. Published in 8 languages. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Thanks for having me on again, Danielle. Certainly an exciting season to look forward to. A lot of good record numbers being the players to chase down this year.
Yes. Let's start with the exciting news that I really haven't had much chance to talk about. With all the events in Hawaii, let's start the show with the news of the decade, the USGA, and this new ProMedica agreement, the purse for the U.S. Women's Open increasing to $10 million. That's incredible.
Yeah, you know, coming into this year now, total prize money on the LPGA this year is a record $86 million. 10 years ago, it was $42 million. So it's more than doubled in a decade. A record $10 million purse, as you said, at the U.S. Women's Open, which means a record $1.8 million going to the winner of that tournament. And there's 60 more hours of LPGA golf on television this year than last year. So all the numbers there are very, very exciting. And what the USGA did by taking that purse to $10 million raises the bar for the other major championships out there. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on them, and not just the majors, tournaments in general. It puts pressure on everybody to try to drive up their purses.
Yeah. The USGA prides itself on conducting championships that not only provide an incredible stage for the athletes, but also give younger players something to dream about. That's what Mike Wan, the CEO of the USGA, said. Now, Mike was the commissioner of the LPGA, and now he is, you know, over at the USGA. And what does he do? He makes a huge statement for the LPGA players. Do you think, I thought that was interesting. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Yeah, you know, I think that Mike, the position that he was in at the LPGA for more than a decade, 11 years as commissioner there, he saw how much women's golf is growing in the United States, around the world. I think in the U.S. right now, the numbers that I just saw from the National Golf Foundation is participation by women is up to 25% of all the golfers in this country. It used to be 20 years ago, it was like 15%.
Wow.
So that number is growing. I think he's aware of that, and I think he's aware that by giving more incentive for young players, junior players, girls, and remember, the USGA and the LPGA have their girls' golf initiative going together, which is a rapidly growing organization. So what Mike has seen is not only do the women deserve to be playing for more money and deserve to be playing for more prize money, LPGA players are still playing for one-fifth the prize money that PGA Tour players are playing for, but he also sees that the growth potential for the overall game of golf in women's golf is enormous, both as a participatory level and as a spectator level, and I think he's jumping in and striking while the iron's hot.
Yeah, it's almost like he's working for the LPGA while he's in charge of the USGA. And I think it's about time that things were equalized, you know, that they give all this money to the men. So now it's time to do the same for the women. And it just makes perfect sense to all of us. By the way, ProMedica is a nonprofit health and well-being organization serving communities in 28 states. This June, the championship is being played at Pine Needles Lodge and Golf Club. What's Pine Needles like?
Pine Needles is fascinating. This will be the fourth U.S. Women's Open that's been at Pine Needles. And the other three, 1996, the winner was Annika Sorenstam. 2001, the winner was Kari Webb. 2007, the winner was Christy Kerr. Wow. Sorenstam and Webb are already in the World Golf Hall of Fame, and Christy Kerr, with 20 wins and two major championships, is likely to go into the World Golf Hall of Fame when she's age eligible. So the three times that they've had the U.S. Women's Open there, it's a Donald Ross masterpiece,
oh.
And it really identified the best players there. In 2019, they had the U.S. Senior Women's Open there, and it was won by Helen Alfredson with Julie Inkster in second place. So it's one of those venues where the cream always rises to the top. So it'll be very exciting to watch the players go at it. A very, very challenging second-shot golf course. It's got those great Donald Ross greens, which are like sort of upside-down saucers. They
mm-hmm.
run off on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tough to get your ball close. And when you miss a green, really, really tough to make those up and downs to save par.
You know, we call them turtlebacks.
Yeah.
So over in addition, I mean, and this ProMedica and USGA, they're not stopping at 10. It's going to go up even higher over the next 5 years. I believe.
I think that they're committed to. They said that it's going to go to 12 million. I think over the and maybe two more years, maybe 2024, 2025. It's going to 12 million. So everything's trending in the right direction there. No question about it.
Yes, absolutely. And now the season opener, the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions in Orlando, Lake Nona. What an incredible leaderboard. Nelly Korda, Danielle Kang, Gabby Lopez, Jessica Korda, Celine Boutier, Brooke Henderson, Inbi Park, Yuka Saso. And that's just the top 10. You know, I mean, it truly, and watching Nelly, the women have no rust on them over this, you know, new season coming in.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting storylines to follow this year is we sort of know what, you know, Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda battled it out for Player of the Year last year, and Jin Young ended up winning it by winning the season-ending CME Group Tour Championship. And we sort of know Jin Young. She had a big year in 2019, won two majors, four tournaments. Now we see whether Nelly can build on the great year that she had. And, you know, that's the challenge when you find out whether a great player is going to take that step to being a transcendent player. Can you pile good year upon good year? And, I'm expecting Nelly to do that. I'm expecting Nelly to she's really turned a corner. She got her first major last year at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. It looks right out of the gate like she's not going to back down. But, boy, is there a lot of competition in women's golf right now. You look at the majors last year. five majors were won by five different players from five different countries and four different continents. You know, it just shows you how not only deep, but how broad the talent pool is in women's golf right now.
It certainly is. Yes. And I loved what Jessica said, that, you know, she's got to put some heat on her sister. She's got to do something. She wants to restart her career.
I think it's fascinating. The quarters are sort of going to be like the Williams sisters in tennis, where the younger one looks like she's going to be better than the older one, because she had the older one to show her what's possible. And I'm going to be fascinated to see if Jessica responds to Nellie's big year last year. Jessica's still looking for her first major championship. Boy, how cool would it be if we ever got a final twosome in a major championships to be the Korda sisters?
That would be
enormous. So I'm looking for Jessica to be motivated by Nellie's big year last year.
Do you remember when Jessica said, "You think I'm good? Wait until you see my sister."
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they have a little bet every year between the sisters that whoever has the better year, the other one purchases them a rather pricey handbag. The last couple of years, I think that Nellie's been hoarding some handbags there. So we might be seeing Jessica start to push back this so that she can get the prize this year.
Oh, wow, that's I always think about the time they're already playing their third round, the moving day. And we see that, you know, Nellie and Danielle Kang still on the seventh hole, and Nellie still has a two-stroke lead at this point, with Danielle Kang 10 under. So and Yuka Saso has just jumped up, you know, all the way. She's on the 10th hole, though. And it's really important for me to mention this to people who are not new to this game. And if you hear that somebody says, "Oh, he's got, you know, the lead," well, you've always got to look at what hole the person, they're not really in the lead. They may be in the lead, but somebody who's right behind them, so to speak, has eight more holes than they do to get a better score. So that's the thing that a lot of times you hear announcers talking about, you know, "Oh, here's our leader now." Not really. It looks like it, but unlikely. Do you know what I mean?
That's particularly true on birdie-friendly golf courses. You know, we saw that at Kapalua, where there's so many opportunities coming down the stretch to get way under par. And there are some golf courses where having six holes to play is a really good thing because there's a lot of birdie opportunities.
Yes.
There's other golf courses where having six holes to play is a bad thing because there's a lot of bogey opportunities out there.
Yeah. And we had, speaking of Kapalua, we had absolutely no wind. I mean, there were no defenses for that golf course. It was, have at it, guys, you know, just, you know, right here.
That's still, to me, that's one of the most fun golf courses to watch on television.
Yeah.
Because it's just, not only are the vistas spectacular there, but it's a fun golf course to watch. All the runouts and the elevation changes, everything about it is just so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh, and now, Derek Lowe is leading. Annika Sorenstam and Mark Mulder are tied for second. The last time I checked their leaderboard. Marty Fish, Chad Pfeiffer in the top five. No, I have not lost my mind. I am still talking about the event in Florida, but there is a celebrity component to this in addition to the competition on the LPGA Tour. When did the celebrity component get put into this opening of the LPGA season?
It's been about 3 or 4 years now. Marty Fish has won it several times. He's a former tennis player, and those tennis players, tennis skill seems to translate to golf very, very well. I think the ground strokes are similar, pass at it. And Annika's playing in that division right now, and it makes for a fun week down there. I did it a couple of times when they first went to that format with the celebrities, and they have people from not only different sports, but country music stars and celebrities of all kind. And one pro plays with several of the celebrities each day, and they have the dual competition going on, where you have the professional winner and then the celebrity winner.
And what does this do for the LPGA?
It brings more eyes in. I mean, you know, there are people who might turn it on to watch on TV or go to watch in person who are a fan of a country western musician who's playing, or friends fans of Larry Fitzgerald, a retired football player, is playing. Ray Allen, a basketball player, is there. So it brings in people who may not be not only fans of women's golf, they may not be fans of golf, and it exposes them to the sport. And you know, I've always felt the biggest critics of women's golf, both among fans and the media, are people who don't go to the tournaments. Because once you experience the product, you realize what a fun, great product it is. And that's what this does for the LPGA. It exposes it to new group of eyeballs out there.
Yeah. So the LPGA, the season coming up, the next few events, they'll be staying in Florida for 2 weeks with the LPGA Drive On Championship and the GameBridge LPGA. Then they go to Singapore and Thailand. The HSBC Women's World Championship, the Honda LPGA Thailand. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. Ron, do you think they'll be able to do this given the circumstances with whatever variant we're dealing with?
Well, I think that everybody's holding their breath right now. You know, this is where we were in 2020, I guess it was. It's hard to remember. This pandemic's been going on so long.
Right.
Yeah, it was in 2020. And they were playing, I believe, in Australia then, and they canceled. The first two tournaments canceled were Singapore and Thailand. So everybody's hoping that there's some degree of normalcy going on there. I just saw yesterday that NBC is now saying that they are going to cover the Olympics in China remotely.
Yes.
That most of their announcing crews are going to stay in Stamford, Connecticut. And do it from there. So clearly there are corners of Asia where there are still concerns. They're holding their breath. They want to go back. I think last year they got in a tournament in Korea, and I think, you know, they have the spring swing in Asia and the fall swing, and I think that Korea tournament was the only one they got in all of last year. They hope to get them all back this year.
Yeah, it's not easy. Given the circumstances, and I think we all need to just realize that it is what it is. It's called nature. And, you know, I don't think we've ever really won a battle with hurricanes and all the other stuff that she throws at us. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Always a pleasure, Danielle. Talk to you down the road,
my friend. Thank you. Ron Sirach, Golf Channel contributor, golf writer, and author. He's been, Golf Digest, Golf World, the Associated Press. He knows a lot about this game. And thank you to our sponsors. Put this on your calendar coming up this coming month, February. The Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore Grand Opening is coming. Yes, Aloha Power Equipment's new Megastore. It's across from Home Depot Ivile parking structure on Alakava in Ivile. They're definitely open. Just go on in. You'll find all of the Aloha Power equipment you count on, including the riding mowers, the robotic mowers. That's for those really slanted areas where you don't want to be driving. It'll go for you. Chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. Aloha Power equipment in Waipahu, yes, and their new megastore on Alakava across from Home Depot's parking structure. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment, MD Restoration, flood, fire disasters, you know it. You need help, and you need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day or night, right away. If disaster strikes your home or your office, call MD Restoration, licensed contractors. They'll do your cleanup. That mitigation, and then they'll do the repair. Their number is 528-3434. And if you're stumped, you have no idea what to give for, you know, your friend who seems to have everything and always gets what they want anyway, well, surprise them with a Poipu Bay gift certificate, home of the Grand Slam of Golf for years. Hawaii watched Tiger Woods play Poipu Bay. Yes, it's such a beautiful golf course. And I understand there's a certain female Grammy winner who is going to be playing Poipu Bay today. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.